If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones want foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, the air quality is better in here than it is outside, but I've only just started talking, so I'm gonna give it about 55 minutes. We'll have to recheck. That's pretty crazy, though, right? All this this smoke that continues to find its way across the United States, different parts, mainly like the East Coast and Midwest. So if you are someone, from what little I know, I'm not a doctor. I do not even try to play one on the radio. But from what little I understand here, if you are someone who has, you know, any conditions, that it could be exacerbated by this poor air quality. Like if you're a younger person and you're in good health, you're going to be just fine. But if you are someone who's a little older, you might want to think twice about maybe if you like to go out on a long walk at night or go on a jog or go on a bike ride. It sounds like to me from, like I said, you're taking advice from me. You're going to want to double and triple check this, but that you might want to think twice about doing something like that today. As this Canadian wildfire smoke has, I've noticed a few days over the past couple weeks or so where it's been hazy out, but you could really smell it, you know, in the air today. So crazy world gets crazier, but nonetheless, we've got our extravaganza, and we've got a ambitious agenda laid out like usual. First things first, however you are tuned in, I appreciate it very much. Whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Speaking of the AM, I know we had some calls and emails about the signal, you know, just not getting out there and the signal being scratchy and staticky. We had some damage that we endured during the recent severe weather, and with the help of an outstanding tower climber and our engineer, Mark Schumacher, who is also outstanding. This has all been fixed and rectified. So you should be good to go now. If you're not, if something's weird with your signal, be sure to always let us know. Give us a call or send me an email. I always give you the email every show, cole@1650thefan.com. That's also where you can send emails about something you want to weigh in on that we talk about on the show, questions, comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Send it along in an email, or you can join the conversation by dialing up the show right now, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark that website, 1650thefan.com. It's not only where you get the stream of all of our great programming, but all sorts of local, statewide, national sports content, audio on demand, the podcast of this show, our broadcast calendar so you can know what games you can listen to. It's all right there. Make it a one-stop shop for yourself, 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up on the show today, we'll get to area sports news and scores like we always do to lead it off here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. And that will include, of course, tonight's Phillies-Cubs game. Cubs baseball back on the fan tonight after the Cubs had a day off traveling back from London for the series against the Cardinals, in which they split over the weekend. And there was some question, but recently just heard they are going to play this game tonight at Wrigley Field, game one of a three-game series at Wrigley against the Phillies. They have the same air quality problems in Chicago right now, as you might imagine, that we're dealing with here. And I have seen that a number of high school baseball and softball games have been postponed tonight. So I do have the lineup of Metro baseball and softball games to bring you, like usual, here in just a little bit. I have not heard that any of these have been postponed. Did a quick search before the show began. Have not seen anything. If anybody out there has seen anything or heard anything, please let me know, whether you have my number and you can text me, or you got the email cole@1650thefan.com, or give us a call. Somebody here will pick it up and get me the message if any of these Metro games, baseball or softball, have been postponed due to the air quality condition right now in the state. So just to put that out there real quick. But we'll come back from that first break. We'll have the VSiN action update, like I said. Then we'll get you a forecast with Megan Mulford for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back and be joined by our friend Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com. We love the guys over at BleacherNation.com. They do a great job. Michael's been just outstanding to this show. And, you know, a lot of times we talk Cubs and just Cubs with Michael. But if you're the Cardinal fan listening right now, or whatever it is, Braves fan, Royals fan, Twins fan, me and Michael are going to talk plenty about how the new pace of play initiatives in baseball seem to be already helping the sport. There might need to be more time for the data to really prove that out. But there are some encouraging numbers with regard to Major League Baseball's popularity this season, as you look back and compare it to recent seasons. And we've talked on this show before, and it's been covered rather widely, if you're into the baseball scene at all, that the average age of a baseball fan is, frankly, not to be insensitive or anything, it's frankly way too old. And it's getting even older at an incredible rate, way too quick of a rate. And so baseball, hoping better late than never, of course, put these pace of play initiatives in, with the pitch clock being the headliner of all of them. And I will continue to say on the show, I've loved everything that they've done, what they've done with the shift, what they've done with the bigger bases, what they obviously have done with the pitch clock. I think it's all been great for baseball. I really do. And I think there's some other, you know, things on the way that should help the sport as well. So we'll dig into that with Michael. We'll spend a good part of the conversation talking about that. And then, of course, like usual, we'll talk a little Cubs, because, hey, my Cubs, man, they're red hot right now. They've won 9 of 11. They're right there in the thick of the NL Central race. I know it's not a good division, but, hey, you gotta, you're in the division you're in, and you got to play the teams that are on your schedule. So hopefully the Cubs can be playing meaningful baseball a little over a month from now after the trade deadline passes. But there's enough time between now and then that a lot can happen. So we'll see how it goes, and it'll start tonight. I think this is kind of the next wave here in the season now, with the Cubs coming back from London. I think it's like the next wave of games to prove, like, okay, yeah, we went on a good run to kind of get back in position to be in it, but now can we sustain? Can we sustain that for another month into the trade deadline, so President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer doesn't feel compelled to sell? I sure as hell hope so, but we'll all find out together. And like I mentioned, it starts tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. I think it's Jameson Taillon on the mound for Cubs-Phillies tonight, game one. Coming at you from Wrigley Field. After we're done talking with Michael Cerami of Bleacher Nation in the next segment, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you'll get Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that break and got some audio I want to bring you. Cedar Falls High School softball coach Sam Tepley, Waverly Shell Rock softball coach Kim Meyer, also a couple of Iowa football transfers, and offensive lineman Rusty Feth, and linebacker Nick Jackson. So that's what's on the docket for the third segment today. And after we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time, and we'll wrap up what is a Tuesday edition of the show. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in here. Last night in Metro Baseball, Cedar Falls took a pair of games from Cedar Rapids, Washington, 5-1 and 6-4. Dubuque Wallert swept a doubleheader from Waterloo West, 8-0 and 5-2. Waterloo Columbus swept a doubleheader at Dyke New Hartford, winning 4-2 and 12-4. And with those wins, the Sailors clinched the North Iowa Cedar League Central Division title. In Metro softball last night, Cedar Falls held off Waverly Shell Rock 4-2. Cedar Rapids Xavier edged Waterloo West 6-5. Sidney Wilson had a two-run home run for the Wahawks in that narrow loss. And Waterloo Columbus split a doubleheader at Dyke New Hartford, and the Sailors softball team also clinched the North Iowa Cedar League Central Division title with that win last night against the Wolverines. Meanwhile, this evening in Metro Baseball, Cedar Falls is hosting Independence and Waterloo East playing a doubleheader at Cedar Rapids, Washington. In Metro Softball, Cedar Falls hosting Cedar Rapids Prairie for a doubleheader. Waterloo West has a twin bill at home against Cedar Rapids, Washington. Waterloo East has a doubleheader at Fort Dodge. And Waterloo Columbus is playing English Valley at Mount Mercy University. The Waterloo Bucks' comeback attempt came up short, losing 6-5 at home to La Crosse last night. La Crosse had a 6-0 lead going into the eighth inning. The Bucks made the game interesting, scored two runs in the bottom of the eighth and three in the ninth. Waterloo now in last place in the Great Plains East Division at 9-18 overall. Bucks back in action today. USA Basketball defeated Lebanon 122-70 this morning to lock up the Pool A championship at the FIBA U19 World Cup. Team USA went 3-0 in pool play, earning one of the top seeds in bracket play that starts tomorrow. Incoming Iowa State freshman Omaha Ballou played a key role for the United States team, finished with 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 block shots in just under 19 minutes of play. He was 2 of 4 from the field, including a three-pointer. He knocked down 3 of 4 free throw attempts. Team USA is going to next face China tomorrow in that first round of bracket play. China was 0-3 in pool play. Caitlin Clark wins another award. She won the Honda Cup in Los Angeles yesterday. It's awarded to the top athlete in women's college athletics. The award is, of course, one of many that Clark has won this year. The West Des Moines native was also named the 2023 Naismith and Wade Trophy winner, along with being named the AP and Basketball Writers Association Player of the Year. She led Iowa to its first ever NCAA championship game and helped the Hawkeyes post the most wins in a single season. All right, let's take this time out, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We're talking baseball. Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com, joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
The status of tonight's Phillies-Cubs game still on in Chicago. The air quality because of the Canadian wildfires put the game in jeopardy, but the teams will play tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time. It wouldn't be the first time, though, that a game would be postponed, as Major League Baseball had to do that to 2 games earlier this year in New York City and Philadelphia. Free agent running back Leonard Fournette escaped injury today despite having his SUV start on fire while he was driving the vehicle. NFL Network says free agent running back Dalvin Cook has multiple offers from teams. Some of the teams interested in Cook include the Jets, Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins, as NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero made the comments on the Rich Eisen show earlier today. In the NBA, restricted free agent Grant Williams said today there's absolutely a chance he could be back with the Celtics next season. While the Philadelphia Flyers traded center Kevin Hayes to the Blues for a 6th-round pick, the NHL draft takes place tomorrow night in Nashville.
This is Ron Coomer. Join me and the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes for Cubs baseball right here on The Fan.
This month, we're extending a hearty congratulations to our Gold Star teachers, Central Middle School's Kendall Rockford, Irving Elementary's Anne Schreck, Orange Elementary's Roshana Greer, and Hoover Middle School's Joellen Pruis. We're also celebrating our board members for the positive impact they make on our district. Specifically, get this. Board member Lyle Schmidt has served 30 years on our Waterloo Schools board. Thank you, Director Schmidt. Recently, he shared with us that he was the first in his family to be able to go to college. He became an engineer, and it changed the trajectory of his life. And he serves on our board and supports education because, in his words, what we offer today can change the trajectory of many students' lives ahead. We also celebrated the 20th anniversary of the opening of the Dr. Walter Cunningham School for Excellence. At Waterloo Schools, we're so proud of our rich traditions and phenomenal students, staff, board, and volunteers. Thank you to the entire community for supporting our students. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up. Home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Huh. Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to ride. Brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com.
Cubs back at Wrigley Field after their trip to London. They're plus 105 of the money line today against Philadelphia. The Phillies minus 130. Cubs return from London 37-39 with a plus 32 run differential. That's an expected win-loss total of 41-35. The Cubs underachieving at this point. They're plus 350 to win the National League Central Division. Cardinals minus 105 with a money line at home against Framber Valdez of the Astros minus 115. 8 over the total at Busch Stadium. The White Sox are a $1.80 dog at the LA Angels. The Angels have Shohei Ohtani on the mound as a $2 home favorite. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 65. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 86. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 66. Mainly clear skies. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 84.
You're listening to the one-stop shop for local and statewide sports talk. Cole & Company with Colbert. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. Cubs baseball returns to The Fan tonight after, of course, the Cubs had made the trip across the pond and split with the Cardinals over in London. A three-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies begins at 7:05 tonight. It's going to be a 6:30 pregame right here on The Fan, so look forward to that. And we're going to talk Cubs right now. Also just going to talk kind of Major League Baseball big picture a little bit. And Michael Cerami, our great friend from BleacherNation.com, is here to do just that right now. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Michael_Cerami. And make sure you bookmark BleacherNation.com. Michael, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Good, good. Everything feels better when the Cubs are winning.
Yeah, right. And what is it? 9 of the last 11, the Cubs have gotten wins. And let's look back on, how about this? Let's start with little Major League Baseball big picture talk before we dig in on the Cubs coming out of that London series. Is there a lot to be gained from Major League Baseball taking its sport abroad like the NFL has? And it seems like it's been quite the success for the NFL. I mean, it is its own beast, but what impression do you get of what Major League Baseball is doing with its world tour and any sort of inroads it might actually be making growing the game abroad?
Well, you know, I kind of think about it two different ways. So there's certainly going to be some benefit to expanding the sport abroad. I think it's not quite as well known internationally, even as some of the other more American sports, like you said, the NFL. So that part is always good to see. And if you watch the games, you saw a lot of native Londoners and Brits being excited about the sport and getting interested in the game and parents teaching their kids how it's done and making the rules up as they go. They somehow don't know them all, which is like me trying to explain cricket. I'll give them some credit. But, you know, there's another version of this that I think it kind of goes under discussed that I think is maybe even more important, is these international games that occur during the regular season, or even games that happen like at the Field of Dreams event, these individual events, but international games, you know, account for these too, are a great way to get people, even in America, paying attention to the sport. Because I've had friends, and I have friends that are not huge baseball fans, are let's say Cubs fans by default, but they tuned in for the London games because they're like, oh, this is cool. They're playing in another country. The game's at 9 a.m. It's a national broadcast and it's playing internationally. And there's it's like a marquee matchup between the Cubs and the Cardinals in 2019 with the Yankees. And it's like, it's just a cool way to get people's attention on the sport. Again, obviously internationally, but even internally in America, I think it's a really great way to say, hey, pay attention to us. We're doing some cool stuff. You don't need to be on TikTok 24/7. You can take out a couple hours for the Cubs game. And hey, guess what? It's only 2.5 hours now. So it's not 4 hours long anymore. So I think it's a good idea. I couldn't necessarily comment how many new international fans they're adding, but I certainly can tell without a doubt that in America, these sort of international events draw a lot of attention, and that's a good thing for the sport.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, I had friends as well talking about, oh, hey, I heard something about the Cubs are playing in London, or, you know, the Cardinals are playing in London. And like you point out, you're getting someone who either has a little bit of interest in baseball or maybe hardly any at all that's going to tune in for something they otherwise wouldn't. And who knows where it goes from there. But, I mean, if you're Major League Baseball, that's kind of what you're asking for, both at home and abroad. And it makes me think about the next question I wanted to ask you today, because you guys had a story recently at BleacherNation.com about how attendance is up in Major League Baseball. And is it safe to say yet that these new rules, these pace of play initiatives, is something you can extrapolate this Major League Baseball attendance boon from? Or is the data just not quite there yet? I mean, what can we make of how the game might be trending in a positive direction that it's need to be trending in for quite some time now?
Yeah, I think I think the new rules would play a part in that. Sure, I would imagine that would materialize more quickly in let's say TV and broadcast ratings than attendance. Yeah. But that certainly can be part of it. I also think part of it is probably the further away from the pandemic we get, the more we can continue the trajectory of increasing attendance for certain sports and events when people, you know, it feels like a distant memory now, but we're still only a couple years removed from all of that. And I think that just not only increased comfort, because sure, everyone's, I'm not saying everyone's over it, but we're kind of all over it, right? And it's not just that, though. It's the motivation to be going out and doing experience, spending your money on experiences like going to a Cubs game. And I think that's a big reason for the increased attendance, just because we're as close to back to normal life as it'll ever be. And I think that's probably a big factor. But again, I do think the rules are part of it. And honestly, I mean, you know, I'm positive that there's still some people out there that don't like a lot of the new rules, but boy, has all of that talk calmed dramatically. There is no one out there on social media or in person or on our website complaining daily about any of the things that have changed. We rarely even see pitch clock violations. You know, I think at the start of the year, we were tracking those so closely and everyone was oh, what's it gonna do? What happens when a game ends? Like, it's not a factor because it has completely improved the game. Everyone's adjusted. It's better. It's the same thing with the designated hitter in the National League. Who even talks about that anymore? It's just what the game is now. And I think those things have been good for the sport. We did just find out that that earlier today, Rob Manfred hinted that there won't be the robot umps coming next year. It's not like for sure, but he heavily indicated that it's not going to be the case because we made all these changes this year. He wants to give them some time to settle in.
Okay.
Get fans used to it before the next sweeping round of changes. But I do think there's probably still some more tweaks to the game that could happen down the line. But it's good to know that baseball is saying, okay, yes, we know we made a lot of changes. Let's let everyone adjust. Once we do, we can talk about, reassessing what else we might want to tweak. But so far, so good. And I think that's inarguably part of the reason fan interest in the sport is improving. And mm-hmm. as more teams do things the way the Cubs have or are about to with their standalone streaming service and the product is available to more people directly and in the way they want it to actually be received for people that like to cut the cord, that can help increase engagement both on a broadcast ratings level but also in person, because if you're watching the team more at home, you might be that much more willing to go to the ballpark and spend your money on attending a game. So there's a lot of factors and they're all kind of overlapping, but mm-hmm. it's all very good news to baseball because we can't forget this was and still is a sport with an aging fan base. They need to do everything they can to
right.
continue to cater to a wider audience. It's not only to the younger audience, because you got to know where your bread is buttered, but yep. to a wider audience.
Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Michael, just to kind of wrap this part of the conversation up before we get to the Cubs, I think it's smart that Rob Manfred came out and said, we're going to continue with at least one more season of just letting this quote-unquote new age of baseball with the pace of play initiatives just be the norm for now before robot umps or something else. But I will say this. I would love to see that strike ball challenge system. I mean, I'd like to see it yesterday because of of some of the bad calls that I've not only seen watching the inordinate amount of Cubs games that I do watch, but then, going on social media and seeing other teams getting absolutely ripped off by really bad strike ball calls. And the umpires have incredibly hard jobs to do. Why not let the technology help out? And I remember watching a video a year or two ago when it was in the Arizona Fall League when they were using this challenge system. The batter just taps on his helmet. That's the signal for the challenge. It goes to the big video board in the park. It's almost like tennis with the in-out call in tennis, how that all works. It seemed to be very streamlined. I would hope maybe. I don't know what kind of insight you might have on it. But, man, I would love to see that at least by next season in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I certainly think that might be that's a great example of how they might ease us into that world. So an analogy to help explain it. Right now we have the shift restrictions, right, in baseball,
yeah.
and that requires fielders to be on both sides of second base with their feet on the infield dirt. Well, that still leaves room for a lot of shifting. If you've ever noticed, a ground ball up the middle isn't necessarily still a hit, because a second baseman or shortstop can play 1 foot over and they're essentially yep. still up the middle. So one of the other rules they've toyed with in the minors is this pie slice rule, which basically creates a cone out from the bottom point of second base, the one closest to home, outwards in the triangle shape, and it forces the second baseman and shortstop to be further to first and third base, respectively. Now, that might be coming eventually, but you start with the watered-down version and introduce people slowly to the idea of banning or limiting shifts to get us used to it and then change it. So for the strike zone, maybe you do start with something that is a challenge system that allows teams to challenge one or two calls a game or
yeah.
however they want to factor that into the existing play challenge rules. And then several years after that, you can move to automated balls and strikes at all times. Now, I will say, for as progressive as I like to consider myself as a baseball fan, and especially in terms of rules that will improve the game, I am far more interested in a challenge system than every single pitch being called by a computer or by a robot. You know, I like the aesthetic of an umpire calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, I am too. It's one of those things where I think we're singing together. Like, we like all the adjustments that have been made so far. But yeah, I'm not all the way in. I wouldn't say I'm all the way out, but I'm not all the way in at all on robot umpires.
Yep, agreed. So maybe the challenge system is not just the first step. Maybe it ends up being popular enough as mm-hmm. the final destination. But either way, it seems like that won't be coming next year, and we might have to wait a little bit longer. And, you know, that's okay. There have been a lot of changes. Baseball, for how aggressive they have been, they have to be just as thoughtful and making sure that everyone gets accustomed to everything as it develops is just as important as making those changes in the first place. So I do kind of appreciate that slower approach, and we've all got a lot of years left and a lot of baseball to watch. So plenty of fun ahead of us.
Maybe we could just have it for games that CB Buckner umpires, Michael.
Seriously. now that's a rule I could get behind, because, oh God.
He was bad that last game he did for the Cubs. I can't remember when the hell it was, but man, he was bad. Gosh, he's just...
It's incredible. They do the lineup, the umpire cards, and you're like, oh no. It's going to be one of those days, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay, we got to talk about the Cubs. They won 9 of their last 11. A really good stretch of baseball that they very much needed to have so they could be in a position right here at the end of June to potentially continue to play at least 500 baseball, to be in it at the trade deadline, to be buy side on the trade deadline. And just looking at the sample of games, the last 11, the last dozen, plus or minus a little bit, Michael, what do you think are the most important level-headed evaluations to take away, good, bad, or indifferent?
Well, I think you could take the last, I think they're 11-3 in their last 14 games. Take that winning percentage, apply it for the rest of the year, and that's where the Cubs are going to end up. No, that was a little joke. I think that there's been some really important developments. So for one, I think Ian Happ has rediscovered his power stroke a little bit. I wrote an article yesterday. In the last 2 weeks, not only has he been hitting a ton, getting on base a ton, his power has come back with, I think it was like 8 extra base hits in 10 or 12 games, and including a couple homers off of Adam Wainwright. He's now the sole leader of most home runs off of Adam Wainwright of any player in baseball. And Wainwright's played a long time, so that's pretty impressive. That's a really good, important development. Another one, which has shocked me, you know, more than anyone else out there, I would say, is Nick Madrigal has started to not just get the results, which is fine because we've seen him get the results before, but he's actually hitting the ball with more authority.
Yeah.
He's elevating it a little bit more. He's taking some more walks. He's actually showing us the player he can be, under the hood, not just in within those small stretches that have happened before where balls find holes, where you don't have a lot of confidence projecting that to continue going forward.
Right.
That's been really good. On the flip side, I don't necessarily love that Cody Bellinger hasn't quite reestablished himself yet after returning from the knee injury, and mm-hmm. now power injuries have impacted his performance in the past, so you hope that sort of turns around sooner than later. And then sort of indifferent is Seiya Suzuki's struggles, where I kind of feel like he's still hitting the ball really hard and hitting the ball by the line.
Yeah.
And he's finding a lot of outfield gloves. I don't necessarily think he's in all that big of a slump at all. I think he's mostly fine, and if he just keeps doing what he's doing, he'll be okay. But again, talk about someone who would benefit from robot umpires. He would be, you know, probably number one in baseball. So maybe that should come sooner than later. And then on the pitching side, there's the bullpen, which has taken enormous strides, and you suddenly have confidence in Albert Alvarez, right, as your closer.
Yeah.
Mark Leiter Jr. is still extremely effective setup man. Michael Fulmer has been on an absolute tear. He's been incredibly impressive, and the guy that the Cubs sort of hoped he would have been to start the year. And now I'm sort of getting another reliever off the top of my head, but there's one other guy.
That, Julian Merriweather.
Julian Merriweather, thank you. Offers fastball over 100 miles an hour in different looks than a lot of the other arms the Cubs are trotting out, particularly in the starting rotation. So suddenly you feel pretty good about your starters, and you start to have this circle of trust of relievers that's growing from what was once, you know, one guy in Leiter Jr. to two to three to maybe four arms. You're pretty confident in any given situation. So, you know, the Cubs still have some levers they can pull in Iowa to supplement the pitching at the big league level.
Right.
And they haven't had to yet. They can still make additions via trade at the deadline. And for whatever it's worth, trading four relievers is often the easiest thing to do. There's always a ton of them available. They are often less expensive to acquire, and you can have your own personal preferences on the types of relievers, so there's not often the same level of hyper-focused trade attention on one or two guys, you know, with the exception of if there's that one, you know, all-star closer that's available, and
sure,
that guy, as always, is going to go to the team who's the most surefire playoff World Series contender, because those are the guys that they overpaid to acquire because they matter so much more in October. So I do think the Cubs can still bolster their bullpen, either internally or externally, but the developments they've already made with those four guys in particular has been a huge stabilizing presence for the entire team. So that's been really good to see.
Michael, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the conversation. And as we sit here on June 27th with roughly a month until the Major League Baseball trade deadline, I think I speak for every Cubs fan where it's like, man, what's the conversation going to sound like a month from now, right? Because that's what we're all here for. We want to be finally playing some meaningful games on the backside of the Major League Baseball trade deadline and in a division that looks this gettable with respect to the Cincinnati Reds. Man, you'd sure like to think that finally you're going to see this team, you know, whip it into shape and at least be a part of the conversation the rest of the season.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the Cubs have an incredibly important stretch coming up. They've already accomplished a huge piece of the puzzle by taking six straight from the Pirates, but they have a big four-game set against the Brewers and then some tough games against the Yankees in New York and against the red-hot Phillies team at Wrigley Field this week. So there's some big games coming up, but that four-gamer against the Brewers next week is going to be as big of a series as the Cubs have had in a very long time. Especially given its proximity to the All-Star break and the trade deadline, when those plans will start to be solidified. As of today, we're looking good. They have gone on the hot streak that they needed to go on, but they're not done yet. They need to win a little bit more and a little bit more against the Brewers and the Reds when they come up.
Yeah, they sure do. Read about the Cubs at BleacherNation.com. Listen to them right here on The Fan. Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Michael, thanks so much, man. We'll catch up again soon. Take care.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. On the other side, got some updates on cancellations regarding metro area teams, metro area baseball and softball teams having their games canceled tonight as a result of air quality issues. At last check, they're still going to play Cubs-Phillies tonight at Wrigley Field. As I told you before, Chicago dealing with similar air quality issues as we are here in Iowa today. So we'll keep a check on that as well as the show continues. And we've got audio to get to next from Cedar Falls softball coach Sam Tepley, Waverly Shell Rock softball coach Kim Meyer, and if time permits, we'll get some audio from some Iowa football transfers, some new faces in Iowa City. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. With workouts underway, it's a much different summer for Iowa State sophomore Taman Lipsey. The Ames native is coming off a freshman campaign in which he started all 33 games at point guard for the Cyclones and was named to the Big 12 All-Freshman team. More depth at guard next season should allow Lipsey to share some of the ball handling duties.
It's nice just having other guys that can make plays, that are playmakers, that can dribble the ball. I don't have to worry about doing that every time down the floor. If they get it, they can push it. If I get it, I can push it. Just makes the game easier.
He averaged just over 7 points per game last season. At the FIBA Under-19 World Cup in Hungary, Cyclone freshman Omaha Blue finished with 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a pair of block shots as the U.S. crushed Lebanon 122-70 to close pool play unbeaten. The Americans face China tomorrow in the first round of bracket play. This is Radio Iowa.
When you don't know who to talk to about alcohol and drug use, gambling, mental health, suicidal thoughts, and more, you can always turn to Your Life Iowa. We're here to help no matter the challenge you may be facing, whether alcohol, drugs, gambling, mental health, suicidal thoughts, or a related concern. With Your Life Iowa, you're never alone. You can call us, text us, or chat with us online 24/7. Start at yourlifeiowa.org. We're your everyday life support.
Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
It's time to celebrate. June is Pride Month, dedicated to achieving equal justice and opportunities to the LGBTQ+ community. Iowa pharmacists care about your health, quality of life, and privacy. That's why many pharmacies offer free and confidential HIV testing to all individuals with immediate results. Do you know your HIV status? Get checked in honor of National HIV Testing Day this month. Iowa pharmacists support the contributions and impact of our LGBTQ+ community. For more information and to find services near you, visit StopHIVIowa.org.
It's almost here. July 8th in Waterloo, Corn Country Fest tribute to the country legends with nationally acclaimed tribute artists performing Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, George Strait, and Garth Brooks. Get your tickets now to save $8 off gate. Limited VIP seats available too. For more info and tickets, visit corncountryfest.com. Corn Country Fest, presented by Viridian Credit Union, July 8th in Waterloo. Sponsored by The Scoop, Busch Light, Person Kitchen and Bath Design, KWWL News 7, Families First Counseling Services, and this radio station.
Summer is here and it's time to get fit at the YMCA. Try one of the 40 plus fitness classes per week to get your heart rate up, burn some calories, and have fun. Let one of our certified fitness instructors lead you through a fun, motivational exercise routine that will meet your fitness goals through a variety of styles: strength, cardio, yoga, water, and more. Get fit at the YMCA, where we build strong kids, strong families, and strong communities.
Get 11% off the best quality Dutch Boy paints now at Menards. We offer a great selection of Dutch Boy paints featuring weather-resistant coatings and crack, peel, and fade protection, all packaged in the award-winning Twist and Pour containers. Get a gallon of Dutch Boy DuraClean Flat Exterior Paint and Primer for just $29.98 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through July 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Some updates on metro area baseball and softball teams having games canceled due to the air quality issue in the state today. Tonight's Waterloo Columbus Catholic varsity softball game against English Valleys at Mount Mercy University in Cedar Rapids. That has been canceled due to air quality conditions. Also can confirm, shout out to Michael here, that Waterloo East baseball at Cedar Rapids, Washington. Also, this one postponed due to air quality. So just a couple updates to pass along there. All right, let's hear from Cedar Falls softball coach Sam Tepley, Waverly Shell Rock softball coach Ken Meyer. If you were listening at the top of the show, I told you last night that the Tiger softball team was able to hold off the Go Hawks 4-2 last night, and Coach Tepley told our Mark Simpson that she was very happy with what the team got from freshman pitcher Lexi Truick.
Yeah, she did really, really well in the circle. She's been, you know, showing up progressively all year with intensity, with her movement pitches. She's really built throughout the whole season, and it's coming together for her right now when it needs to.
Coach Tepley also says last night was a much-needed good team win.
I think this was, you know, really a nod to our girls of trust in the plan and kind of sticking with the things that we've told them they need to be doing, making adjustments in the box and finding a way to fight all game, and they did that and came out on top tonight.
And one of those adjustments, patience at the plate, says Coach Tepley.
Yeah, and again, that's, you know, something we've been harping these guys on, is we have to find a way to keep executing all game, and even when things, you know, aren't happening, to not back off the gas pedal, and it worked for us tonight.
And finally, ask Coach Tepley the thoughts on playing Waterloo East in the first round regionals at home.
We're excited to host at home. You know, our girls really show up well when they get to play at home. We try to, you know, approach each game like we always have something to prove. And, you know, we've faced East twice already this year, and we're really successful. But, you know, anything can happen in the postseason. So we'll be bringing our A game.
Moving into Waverly Shell Rock, softball coach Kim Meyer. Coach Meyer talks about the Gohawks coming up short last night against the Tigers.
Yeah, I thought our girls did a good job fighting back at the end. We came back from 4-0 in the seventh inning, so to lose 4-2, but just the beginning, we got to get on our bats right away.
And Coach Meyer says she's been happy with how competitive her team's been this season.
I think looking at our season, last year there was 8 times that this team has gotten 10 run rule, and going as of right now, we haven't gotten run ruled once, and we're in every single game. So that's been big. They've had a lot of fight, and they've shown that they can play with every single team that we've played against. So that's been a big improvement.
And Coach Meyer says she thinks the team is really starting to put it all together right about now.
I think we're getting there. We're really starting to get on our bats at the end of games, so getting on them from start to finish. Our defense is looking a lot stronger, so I think we're on the high end of it.
The Gohawks are going to take on Boone in their first round regional. Coach Meyer, what do you know about Boone?
Based on stats, they look pretty comparable to us, so I think it's going to be a good game, and we're really excited to play somebody new.
There you have it. Cedar Falls Tiger softball coach Sam Tepley and Waverly Shell Rock softball coach Kim Meyer as the postseason continues to draw near for baseball and softball teams in the state. All right, let's hear from a couple of Iowa football transfers that look like they're going to play pretty big roles this season for the Hawks. And we'll start with new offensive lineman Rusty Feth. He's trying to catch up during summer workouts. He transferred to Iowa after playing at Miami of Ohio, did not take part in spring drills as he was finishing up his degree at Miami.
I mean, it was tough. I wanted to be here for sure, but you know, I've had enough reps versus spring ball camps, things like that, that, you know, as much as I wanted to be here, it was a good break on my body. I've played a lot of football, so and it was good to, you know, get the rest, get the time that I wouldn't have had. But, yeah, I mean, I still wish I was here practicing spring ball.
Feth added that he was able to watch some of spring practice.
Yeah, I was here at the spring practice, which was – I was just here for a day and a night. But a couple weeks prior to the spring game, I came up here with my dad for about a week. And that was more, you know, learning the playbook, getting all that stuff down, learning the terms. You know, it's not as much learning what the plays are. It's more so learning what it's called and what, like, learning the terminology, the language that he's used here.
And finally, and perhaps I would say most importantly here, Feth is reunited at Iowa with former Miami assistant George Barnett. He's the Hawkeyes' offensive line coach.
He's a great man, great coach. And so I haven't been with him. Last time I was with him was my COVID year, 2020. So it's cool getting back into the routine with him, you know, getting back with the way he coaches.
And let's move to another Iowa transfer, and that is linebacker Nick Jackson, who's making the quick transition to becoming a Hawkeye. He's an Atlanta native and earned second-team All-ACC honors at Virginia this past season. He says the Hawkeyes offered him while he was in high school, and he's quickly felt welcomed by his new teammates.
We've been fortunate enough to just, like, do a lot of different things with them, and whether it be a dinner or a cookout or just going playing bags, or I guess I call it cornhole, they call it bags. But so just all those little things right there, just to do that with the guys, it's been a good transition even as transfer.
And Jackson talks a little bit more about being accepted by his new teammates.
I know it's not easy, and a lot of times you hear about stories about transfers coming in, and there's a little hate, there's a little that, but everything there. But I think that these guys in this program have embraced me, they've taken me in, and they're helping me get better every single day. So I'm really fortunate of that, to be in this program.
And as you might imagine, given all the positives he's got so far, he's feeling convicted that transferring to Iowa was the best decision for his career.
It's just a great opportunity within, like, Iowa. And I think that there was just people that could push me and motivate me every single day to be the best player that I could be. And, shoot, I am unbelievably grateful and thankful for my opportunity at the University of Virginia. And I'm unbelievably grateful and thankful for my opportunity here.
And Jackson, similar to Feth, who we heard from before, did not go through spring drills, but says he's been catching up during summer workouts.
It was a little sad just because, like, you want to play ball. Mm-hmm. I think you always want to play ball as a competitor, and you always want to compete, and you want to get that foundation. I think last year at Virginia, when we had spring ball with the new staff, it helped a lot just to, like, understand the plays and stuff like that. But at the same time, I had to get my degree. So I'm very fortunate that I was able to get my degree and graduate. But I'm very grateful that I'm here now. And the guys have been helping me so much on learning the plays and understanding the concepts. And just getting those reps and getting those mental reps has been very helpful in my transition.
All right, let's take this final time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. More good news regarding Brock Purdy's progress as he recovers from elbow surgery. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero reports the 49ers quarterback is one step closer to being ready for the start of the regular season. Purdy is going to be in Jacksonville to throw the next couple of weeks with quarterback coach Will Hewlett and orthopedic specialist Tom Gormley. Kyle Shanahan said earlier this month Purdy is ahead of schedule in his rehab. Even with the loss of Aaron Rodgers, Packers guard Elton Gins still thinks the NFC North runs through Green Bay. Jenkins telling Good Morning Football they have a lot of weapons, adding, quote, "We feel like we're the best team in our division." And free agent Mercedes Lewis is looking to play an 18th season in the NFL and says he feels he still has a lot to offer to a team, saying, quote, "There's no decline in what I'm able to do." This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The Biden liberals have chosen grievance over greatness, and their socialist agenda has created a culture of victimhood in America. Senator Tim Scott is the conservative they fear the most because the truth of his life disproves their lies. Tim Scott rose from a child of poverty to a candidate for president because he chose patriotism over pity and to be a victor, not a victim. Here's Senator Tim Scott.
I'm about to say something really controversial in Joe Biden's America. If you're able-bodied, you work. If you take out a loan, you pay it back. And if you commit a violent crime, you go to jail. And if you're a man, you should play sports against men. America needs more victors and less victims.
Senator Tim Scott will fight for the simple truths that make America exceptional.
These aren't just conservative values. They're American values. And as president, I will defend them. I'm Tim Scott, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tim Scott for America.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When we talk about the greatest athletes in sports, we tend to leave out the Edmonton Oilers star Connor McDavid. But after a career season that featured an outstanding 64 goals, McDavid won his third Hart Trophy as the league's most valuable player. The young star received 195 out of a possible 196 first-place votes. Also became just the third four-time recipient of the NHLPA's Most Outstanding Player Award, joining Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. He's only 26. And he's doing something that is almost unprecedented. Three MVP awards brings a player into the conversation as one of the greatest of all time. And it might be difficult to pass the great one, but McDavid is certainly going to make a decent run. But in such a team sport, in order to solidify a legacy, he's going to need to produce championships. The Oilers nearing a 35-year championship drought. McDavid's place as an all-time great may already, though, be secured. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned.
That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Worn out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Michelin tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
When you're at home, don't miss Cole and Company. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com for joining today's show. Podcast will be available shortly online at 1650thefan.com. And reminder, Cubs baseball coming up in a little over a half hour here tonight on The Fan. Game one of a three-game set from Wrigley Field between the Cubs and Philadelphia Phillies. And still, the latest is that this game is going to be played despite the air quality issues forcing some cancellations of some sporting events in the Midwestern area. So, knock on wood, we get Cubs-Phillies tonight. 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. Jameson Taillon on the bump for the Cubs. That's a wrap for a Tuesday. I'm back tomorrow at 5. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.